This is Colorful Radio.
Our music,
our news, our views.
Elizabeth Solaro, who's the founder of Elizabeth's Cake Emporium. And Elizabeth, without me passing out at this end of the line, could you just tell us about your business, where it is, why you set it up?
My business is Elizabeth's Cake Emporium. I set it up about 9 years ago while I was still working in the city as a headhunter, because I've always been passionate about making cakes, and it was something I did since I was a child. And then I just set about learning my craft and honing my craft. We're based in Barnet in North London, but we do have clients all over the UK, and we've delivered our cakes as far as the south of France.
Good grief. We'll come back to that international element of the business in a minute. You say you've been going for 9 years. What do you specialise in, anything in particular? Any ethnic products, or is it just a broad range of what one might describe as standard British fare?
It was very important to me for the business to be as inclusive as possible. So I didn't want to limit what I did by just offering a particular range. Also, I kept hearing from everybody, even when I was working in the city, everyone kept saying, oh my God, your cakes are a high-end product. And I didn't really know what that meant at the time. So in a way, the kind of clients I attract have actually dictated the direction of the business, if that makes sense. So it's very broad what we offer.
So where do you distribute these cakes?
At the moment, we do very bespoke, very custom work. So people tend to find us either via social media or through specialist press or by word of mouth in particular. And we will do custom cakes to suit whatever occasion that they have in mind.
Oh, so like weddings and...
Yes.
Birthdays and parties, yes, and stuff,
yes,
like that.
Launches, that, oh, okay, sort of thing.
So have you made a cake for a famous person?
Yes, several actually.
names.
Right. Now, some of them I can't say because we sign confidentiality,
sure,
agreements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also we're not allowed to publish any cake images at all.
Okay.
And they tend to be my best cakes, which is a bit frustrating.
But
we've made cakes for a number of royal families, let's put it that way, both in the UK, in Europe and the Middle East.
Mm.
We've made cakes for celebrities. I've been into the cakes. Not me, I wish, but the cakes have been featured in Hello and OK magazine a number of times.
Celebrity wedding cakes, huh?
Sorry?
Celebrity wedding cakes.
Absolutely. Quite a number of celebrities, yes. We've done quite a, you know, footballers, pop stars, one or two reality TV people, but generally tend to be pop stars, actresses, footballers that we do.
So without disclosing the name of who, what is there a one cake of which you think you are most proud that really did achieve the height of your skill?
Gosh, this is tricky because Every cake I do, my latest cake tends to be my most favourite, then I move on to the next one.
Fair comment.
But from a technical point of view, there are a couple of cakes. There was one that was inspired by the movie Sex and the City 2.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm beginning to wonder where this cake's going.
And that was, you know, it was. I was, you know, first person in the UK to recreate the cake from the movie. It was for a Middle Eastern princess, and that was the cake she wanted. And I was so happy we achieved what she was after.
Now, just now you said that you'd shipped a cake to the south of France. That must produce enormous logistical problems. You've got to keep it fresh. You've got to get it there intact. Do you send people with those sorts of cakes to ensure that it is perfect on arrival, or what do you do? Because presumably this must have been for some major party or another.
Yes, I mean, there are a number of ways. The first time I ever sent a cake away, I didn't go with a cake, but what I did was call the chef at the other end, send lots and lots of spare things as a repair kit. And the chef knew exactly how the cake was constructed, and if anything was damaged, there was enough sugar flowers, etc., to cover it. But it arrived intact, and I was really, really pleased. The second time was, it was to another country, it wasn't the south of France, but it went by private jet. And we
a
built
cake by private jet. Another world.
I've never been on one. I wish my cakes have, but I haven't.
Elizabeth, I can tell you that earlier in the program we interviewed Mike Freer, who's the MP for Finchley and Golders Green, which is near you, and he said that he'd got 2,000 houses in his constituency that would be affected by a £2 million mansion tax. They're clearly those sorts of people that you are shipping your cakes to.
But then again, I think people sometimes view, you know, the super rich as, oh my God, you know, they spend obscene amounts, etc. But sometimes you, when you're in that world, you then realize they've got budgets like everybody else. They know the value of money. They actually haggle. They negotiate.
Call it negotiations.
Exactly. They actually haggle and negotiate because, you know, again, they know the value of money. Mm. If they think something is worth it, they'll pay. If they don't think it's worth it, they'll walk away. Time is of the essence, so you might not have much notice to put something together. So again, it's a different world, but It has its own idiosyncrasies.
But tell me, you sound like you have a massively amazing reputation with these cakes. How did you gain that reputation? Was it by word of mouth? Do you advertise? You know, how do you market your products and get such an amazing reputation?
I think it's certainly word of mouth. When I came into the industry, in the words of Jane Austen, I had no money, no connections, and nothing that could possibly induce anybody to want my cakes. So I just used the same principles as I did in my previous job as a headhunter, which was to identify the best people in the industry, have a look at what they do well, see what I could possibly do well, and just be very helpful and nice to everybody, and also to not forget to produce really good products. So it was about learning my craft, developing my own style, and developing my skill. I mean, all the time I'm working on my skill. I make sure I attend refresher classes mm-hmm. for cake decorating every year, no matter what.
And it's not a mass-produced product, is it?
No,
because, as you said, it's bespoke, so you really have to find a lot of high-end orders to keep your business going. So, where do you see your growth coming from, say, this year?
The growth, especially in the UK, I mean, generally for UK business, has been from abroad. So there's been quite a number of people from abroad who love London, love the UK, and they spend part of their time in the UK. So that's been really, really good for the business. So it's just a matter of finding out maybe the concierge services to those people, or, you know, the kind of people they call on for help. And then it's just a matter of developing relationships with them.
Okay.
Just before we go, can you just identify what website you operate under if there are people fancying beautiful cakes, where will they find you?
They'll find me on www.elizabethscakeemporium.com.
Elizabeth, thank you very, very much for, I'm not sure, I'm sat here thinking, oh God, I need something to eat now. Thank you very much indeed for explaining your business, and all the best for the future with these very, very interesting customers. Thank you.
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.